lift your head. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We don't take it for granted, Lord God, that we can come together and worship you, Lord, with freedom, Lord God. Father, we don't take it for granted all that you have blessed us with, Lord God. And I pray today, Lord, that you would bless your word today, Lord God, that we would take it in, that we would digest it and make it a part of our lives, Lord God, because if we're just taking it, if this is just a hobby, if this is just a habit that we do every Sunday, Lord, it means nothing. But, Lord, I pray that you would change us with your word. Change us by your Holy Spirit, Lord God. And not just in this room, but, Lord, sweep through this entire house of God. Sweep through the sanctuary, Lord God. Move by your Spirit, Lord God. And not just in this house of God, but all of the houses of God all over the world that proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you would move by your Spirit, Lord God. We are encouraged by the testimonies, Lord, that we hear, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, wherever your word is, oh, Lord, whether it's on the street corner, wherever your word is coming up, Lord God, I pray, we pray together that it does not return unto you void, but it accomplishes that you sent it forth to do. So, Lord, we thank you. Encourage your people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And so we're going to continue this lesson, the lifter of my head. And as I said, it's such an important lesson. Our key scripture is, again, Psalm 3:3, and it says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and my honor, and the one who lifts my head." And even as we look at the beginning, the first two words of this scripture, it says, "But you." That means something came before he said this. He was talking about what he had gone through and what was going on and all the troubles. Just like today, we talk about all the troubles and all the things going on. And then he gets to the conclusion, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and honor, and the one who lifts my head." And last week we talked about the authority that Christ has and that his authority reigns over all the earth, over anything. And if you want your head really lifted up, then we have to let Christ lift your head. He is the only one that can lift the head of humanity. And we talked about the prodigal son and how the story of the prodigal son is really the story of humanity. You know, a son that left his father's house, thought he knew what to do, you know, and thought he knew a better way, just like we thought we knew a better way in the garden. So we listened to a lie, and we actually left the Father's house and went out into the world. And out in the world, you know, for a while it was good, and he spent all his money. The world just took everything he had and left him eating with pigs. Is it not the story of humanity? Just left him in a destitute place where he was eating with the pigs. And then finally he came to himself. He came to himself and he said, "I'm going to make a sacrifice. I'm going to make, when I go back home, I'm going to go back home because I'm thinking about how wonderful it was in my father's house. How even my father's servants have enough to eat. And here I am eating with pigs." And he got up and he said to himself, "I'm going to go back." And he came back prepared to make that sacrifice. And we compared that with the sacrifice of the bulls and the goats that the priests were doing. They were making those sacrifices so that they could appease God and all of this stuff. And we know the scripture says that the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it. It took the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in order to really change things, to cover our sin, to wash us clean of our sin from where we had been. So back to the story of the prodigal son. So when the father saw him, I mean from afar off, he went out and he embraced him and he kissed him and he was ready to make those sacrifices, but the father just brought him on into the house. Like he did us. When he sent Jesus Christ, that was the embrace and the kiss of the Father. Don't you understand? While we were still afar off, while we were yet sinners, the scripture says, Christ died for us. So the Father sent that kiss and that embrace to us. And he took us back into his house. We didn't deserve it, but he took us back into his house. And not only did he bring us back to the house, but he made a banquet and set a feast before us. And that's our story. That's the story of humanity. And that's how Christ came. And he lifts our head. But some of us, we still have these issues. Even as we came into the Father's house, we still want to make those sacrifices because we still want to do all this stuff. You know, but all these things don't lift our head. Only as we accept the embrace and the kiss of the Father is our head truly lifted up and we can live as sons and daughters of the living God. We don't have to live as servants. We can live as sons and daughters. We can lift our heads again and live in the Father's house as He intended for us to be in the first place. So if everything is restored. So today we're going to go a little deeper. We're going to talk about knowing this name. And in this section, our key verse is from Psalm 3 again, verses 1 and 2. And these are the two verses that came before the third verse. It says, O Lord, how my enemies have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of me, there is no help, no salvation for him in God. Don't you know Satan will lie to you? I'm telling you, I see why Jesus called him the Father of Lies. I wonder, of all the names Jesus could have called him, why did he call him the Father of Lies? Because he lies to us constantly. He can't make you do anything. But if he can lie to you and make you believe the lie, and then you do it, that's where he gets you. And then after he gets you to believe the lie, he accuses you before the Father. Like, see how they're sinning? He accuses us, just like he did Adam and Eve. That's what would happen to Adam and Eve. They were lied to. God, he doesn't want you to eat of this tree because he doesn't want you to be like him. So he's the father of lies. So even here, as we look at Psalm 3, someone is saying there is no help, no salvation for him and God. And again, this is a lie, folks. You got to know when Satan is lying to you because he wants your head hung down low. He wants you depressed. He wants you hopeless. So he will lie to you. So the first point on our lesson says, to know Christ as the lifter of my head, you must understand what he lifts and how he lifts your head in desperate circumstances. Now get this next point. It takes being in a desperate situation to know this name. It takes being in a desperate situation. I don't know about some of you all, but I've been in a desperate situation. Okay? I have been in a desperate situation, and that's where I learned how God could lift my head. See, to be intimate with this name, you have to know what it is to be in a desperate situation. You know, some people, when we're in worship service, sometimes you can watch people worship. And some people worship a little more passionate than the others. You know, some people, you know, I see them come down to the front because they have to come down to the front. There's something compels them. Some people dance, you know, because they just have to dance. You know, they just have to express themselves to God in a passionate way. And when you have gone through some things, when you have had the Lord lift you up out of a miry, yucky, hopeless place, you understand why they dance. See, when the scriptures talked about David in 2 Samuel chapter 6, just write that scripture down. I'm just going to tell you the story how David brought the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. See, and David danced, the scripture says David danced until his clothes came off. That's how happy David was. David danced. I can just see David. I think he was dancing like them old Pentecostal saints used to dance, man. I'm telling you, I grew up in a church where they can dance, honey. And I'm telling you, the scripture says that David danced until his clothes fell off. And I'm wondering, but if you look at the story of what happened, see, the Ark of the Covenant was taken by their enemy. And eventually gave the Ark of the Covenant back because their land was so cursed with that Ark of the Covenant that they actually gave it back to the children of Israel. Take it. We don't even want it in our land because the God that's attached to this ark has cursed our land. So the ark kind of stood in a certain place, and then David, as king, decided he was going to go get the Ark of the Covenant to bring it back into Jerusalem. So David, some of you know the story, he built a new cart, beautiful, beautiful cart, to bring the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. And he went, he put the Ark on the cart, and they were rolling it in to Jerusalem, and then it got to a certain point, and it fell, one of the wheels fell or broke or something, and the Ark of the Covenant started to fall off the cart, and one of the people that was there was Uzzah, and Uzzah put out his hand to keep the Ark from falling off, and God struck him dead right there. And David was discouraged when that happened, so he left the cart at Obed-Edom's house. And they just left the Ark of the Covenant there, and David went back to the palace, and it was like he was discouraged within himself because he was like, well, I'm trying to bring your glory back. You know, have you ever been there just trying to, like, Lord, I'm trying to do what I think you want me to do. But sometimes, folks, I'm telling you, sometimes we don't know the word. We forgot the word. So David went, and I know he had to have studied the word of God, because the Ark of the Covenant is not to be rolled in on a cart. You don't bring the glory of God in on a cart. The glory of God has to be carried in on the shoulders of the priest. And that's how the Ark of the Covenant needed to come in. So David went back, and he got the priest, and David himself. I mean, you got to love this man. You know, because he's the one that wrote, he lifts my head. He, you know, I'm discouraged. I'm trying to bring the glory of God back into this city that I'm supposed to be, or this kingdom I'm supposed to be ruling. And yet this stuff is happening. You know, I mean, have you been there when you're trying to pray and you're trying to get a breakthrough and you're trying to get some, and it's like, and then you remember, let me go back to your word, Lord. Let me pray, Lord. Let me just go back into what you said. And he went back and he got the priest this time. And he himself put on an ephod. The ephod is the priestly robe. And David himself, even though he was king, he put on the robe of a priest. He said, because today I'm going to be a priest. See, if you want your head lifted up, sometimes you got to take off all your status stuff. Because some of us, we're fancy, you know, and there's nothing wrong with being fancy, but sometimes, folks, I don't know about y'all, sometimes I have to get on my face before God. I have to have my nose on the floor before God because I need my head lifted up. And David, he took off that kingly stuff and he put on the robe of a priest. The people that come right before God, the people that intercede, he wanted to be that person. And he went back to Obed-Edom's house, and they got they got the Ark of the Covenant. And he had heard also that Obed-Edom's house was being blessed also because the Ark was there. So he went and he got the Ark. And they said every six paces they stopped and made a sacrifice. Can you imagine? Every one, two, three, four, five, six, sacrifice. Another six paces, and they made a sacrifice. They said every six paces, they made a sacrifice. And then they finally entered the gates of Jerusalem with that ark. And that's when he danced until his clothes fell off. But just read the whole chapter. Read. Hold on, Margaret. Just read the whole chapter, okay? 2 Samuel 6. Just read the whole chapter. Read the whole chapter. It's in there. And I tell you to read the whole chapter because you need to hear the whole story. You know, not just one verse. Read the story so you can hear the whole atmosphere of this. And I'm just trying to set you up on how we have to be when the Lord lifts our head, when we finally turn to him. Because so many times, folks, when our head is down, when our head is lifted, we turn to everything else. Everything else. We turn to all of our quick fixes, all of our little things that help us. Even in Christendom, even as Christians, we turn to little things. You know, I got to talk it over with my friend. I got to do this. You know, I've got to do that. And, you know, and it comes to a point where you've got to seek God for yourself. You got to know God for yourself. Jesus died so you could have it. He died so you could have a personal relationship. And I'll tell you something. that I know, I believe about Jesus. Jesus will set you up so that you have to come to him. He has set me up on more than one occasion. I mean, I couldn't even reach my mama, okay? I couldn't even reach my mama. And he sets you up. So you have to come to him for yourself. You can't reach mama and daddy. So he sets you up like that. So you have to come to him when your head is low and you think he has forgotten you and you think he... No! He is setting you up and he's watching so that you will come to him so he can lift your head. So it takes being in a situation where the very foundations of your life are being threatened. David was in a situation, this is another situation that David found himself, when Absalom, his own family, betrayed him and sought to destroy his kingdom. And this is in 2 Samuel 15. You know, here he is running the kingdom and his own family. See, folks, that's why, you know, again, I go back to this verse, and I know some people don't like to hear this verse, but Jesus said, whoever loves mother, father, sister, brother, husband, wife, son, or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And that's a hard scripture sometimes to digest. You know, as much as you love your family, but I'm telling you, if you love family more than you love Jesus, you're going to be in trouble. Because family is, they're humans. I'm sure David loved his family. But here was his son Absalom that was coming up against him. And David had to know where he needed to stand with all this. So we're going to talk more about Absalom in a bit, but the next point on our list is the word head used in this verse, Psalm 3:3, the lifter of my head, relates to a person's rights, authority, or position. David is essentially saying what and who I am is being assaulted, and that's from our book. What and who I am is being assaulted. Have you been there? Somebody's assaulting who you are. Who you have been established to be on the earth, and somebody comes along and tries to assault that. But Lord, you will lift up my rights. Lord, the Lord will lift up your position and your authority and the authority that he gave you. See, certain things, certain mantles God gave you, certain talents that you have and certain abilities, he gave you. Even when it comes to motherhood and fatherhood, because motherhood and fatherhood are leadership positions. And God put that mantle on you when he gave you that child. And some, even the enemy will come in and he'll try to steal even that away. As sacred as that is, the enemy will try and steal it. All over this nation, the gangs that have risen up all over this nation, and they try to replace the family. They try to replace the parents. Again, young people, kids being lied to. And the enemy trying to assault your head. You know, whatever God has given you, so many things. I mean, I'm sure things go through your head right now. Things that God, you know God gave it to you. You know God established you in certain places, certain positionings. And here comes the enemy. Assaulting. And so when we're talking about the lifting of your head by the Lord, it has to do with the authority and the rights that he has placed on you and in your life. And he will lift that up. He will give that to you. When the Lord sets a mantle on a man or woman of God, he will lift them up against any enemy, and he will judge them. And people say, well, who's going to judge the man or woman of God? God will take care of them. God will judge them if they sin. Trust me on that one. But be careful when God has placed a mantle. You know, even if you want that mantle, because that's how we get. We get prideful, we get jealous, we get envious of someone else's mantle. And we want that mantle. So we attack the person that has the mantle. Be careful Be careful. Especially if that person is praying. Be careful. God will deal with that thing. He will lift up their head. This is a promise he makes to his people. The next point. One can only imagine the various and powerful emotions that David was wrapped in during this episode in his life. He could call on the army and kill his son or allow his son to take over the nation God told David to lead. See, he's conflicted here. David had to trust God even over his family. So to know God, to know this name, the lifter of my head, is to look to Christ even when you are conflicted because of your emotions for someone or conflicted over your bloodline. And you know what? The thing about Jesus, he knows you're conflicted. He knew David was conflicted. You know, David, I got to protect the nation. I got to protect the people. God has set the mantle on me as king. But here my son has now risen up as my enemy. Folks, it happens. It happens all the time. And I think that's where so many of us fall. Because we're so conflicted within ourselves. And sometimes when you're conflicted, you don't pray. Because you don't want to hear what God would have, what God has to say. Especially if you know that's family that's messing up and that's family that's sinning in the face of God, you don't want to pray. But you have to pray. Take it to the Lord. Leave it at his feet. Let him deal with it. He knows when you're conflicted. The next point, David chose to submit the situation to God. Noteworthy is David's refusal to assert his own authority. He was determined instead to allow the Lord to defend him. This is from our book. David deliberately turned his mind unto God and his ability and willingness to rescue him. He even took a curse made toward him and turned it toward a blessing from God. I love this man. Even when people were cursing him, this is in 2 Samuel 16:12, when the family of Saul, they ran into David and they started cursing him because he took Saul's position. Because you all know the story, David and Saul, and Saul rose up against David, and you know, David was a warrior trying to defend Israel against the enemy, fought Goliath and did all these things, and the king gets jealous and starts attacking David to the point where he actually has to go into, leave Israel. He can't even stay in there because the king is after him to destroy him. And so we get to this point where David is made king, and they run into one of David's relatives, and he starts cursing David. May you be cursed. May you be cursed. May you be cursed. And as this happens, instead of David again turning and attacking and telling him, well, you know, if Saul hadn't done this, and that didn't come out of his mouth. What he said is, if it's the Lord's will, you know, if the Lord wants to curse me, let him. You know, I mean, can you see the relationship this guy had with God? He was like, hey, if God wants to do it, let him do it. I'm not going to argue the point. If God wants to, then let my life be in God's hands. And that's where we are. Folks, you know, I'm telling you, and you saw what God did for David, just kept him and protected him. Now, David did have a fault, you know, the sin with Bathsheba. And the prophet did tell David that the sword would never depart from your home. And this is part of what happened with Absalom and different things like that. But the Lord always came back and restored David according to the mantle that was on David. The mantle that he placed on him as king of Israel. And to this day, till this day, the Israeli flag dons the Star of David, the greatest king they ever had. Why? Because God put that mantle on him. and because of his heart toward God. He was so careful and he was so willing to allow God to lift his head. He wasn't going to lift his head. You know, because sometimes we lift our heads, we try to lift our heads by telling people off. We try to lift our heads by exerting the authority or the power that we have in our hands. And we try to lift ourselves up that way. Well, let me tell you. Or we get angry and we want to fight. And we want to hurt that person in some way. And we think that's going to lift our heads. It makes you feel worse. But see, the enemy will lie to you and tell you, you'll feel better if you just smack them.
Yeah.
You know? Really? Just punch him one. And you're going to feel so much better, but you're not. The enemy will tell you that stuff. You'll feel better if you go behind their back and do... He will lie to you. All these things that he will tell you, and he'll tell you, these things will lift your head. But I'm telling you, it won't lift your head. It won't lift your head. And, you know, again, I go back to the key verse that David said, oh, Lord, how my enemies have increased. People are cursing me. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of me, there is no help, no salvation for him in God. And then, but thou, O Lord, are a shield about me. You're my glory and the lifter up of my head. Folks, this is some, these are scriptures that you want to just engrave on your heart. Because life is hard every day, folks. Life is hard. And on any given day, you're going to need this. Because people are going to be saying stuff to you, jabbing you all kind of ways. Trying to bring your head down, trying to bring your head down, trying to bring your head down. But thou, O Lord, our shield, you lift my head. You lift me, you encourage me once again. You let me know everything's going to be all right. You are a shield about me, even though they're talking about me and they're cursing me. Lord, I stay within your will. I stay within your shielding. See, we have to stay within the shielding of the Lord. As you look at this man, David, and you see how he stayed within the shielding of the Lord. He didn't get out there. Our key verse at the beginning of your lesson, the key verse, Psalm 3:3. The key verse. So he lifts your head. He truly lifts your head. David did not curse back, but he trusted God that he could lift his head through any and all circumstances, even when people cursed him. The next point, just like David, if you want to know God as the lifter of your head, you must deliberately turn your face toward his face in the heat of opposition. And that's hard to do, folks. When you're in the heat of opposition, when you don't know how you're going to pay the bills, when you don't know, the hardest thing to do is to turn your face toward God. But I encourage you to do it. Fall on your face. Turn on the praise and worship if you need to. Fall on your face. Quote the scripture, thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. I mean, if you can't do anything, just open to Psalm 3 and start reading. This is your prayer right here. Just turn there and start reading, and that is your prayer to the Lord God in the heat of opposition. You must look to the Lord for yourself and declare that he will come to your defense and say like David, Lord, you are the one who lifts my fallen, rejected by man's rights.
Yes, God, thank you.
Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, this is not a passive or wimpy posture. Because again, that's what the liar is going to tell you. You are such a wimp. You need to stand up for yourself. Man, you just let everybody just walk on you. You need to say something. Did you see the way they talk to you? You don't have to take that. Be careful of the liar. He's trying to get you to come from outside the shielding. Because once you come out, you go tell somebody off and you come out that shielding, he'll accuse you. See? They're not trusting you, God. Did you see? They're not trusting you. The Bible says he is the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses you before God, day and night. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It covers us. But he accuses us. See, I thought they were yours. I thought they trusted you. Did you see what they did? Don't come from outside of the shielding. In the heat of opposition, you keep your face in prayer. This is not passive. This is not wimpy. This is a strong posture. No matter how it may appear to natural man, David was actually being assertive. He was being assertive. You know, there was a point where he left the palace and Absalom came in. He left the palace. I mean, here, this is his son. This is the kid that he raised. How dare he? But David, I'm telling you, I think that's so amazing. Even in the face of his own child, he says, I'm going to stay in God. And if it's time to leave, I'm going to leave the palace, but I'm going to stay in God. How shameful it may have appeared for him to have to leave the palace. And they say Absalom came in and he did all kind of things, you know, in the palace and disrespected his dad in all kind of ways. But David stayed. He stayed in the Lord. He stayed in the Lord through this. It takes intestinal fortitude to turn toward God in the heat of attack. Oh, it's easy to give in to your will and human power and your emotions. That's easy. Folks, I mean, I see some of the movies that are out, and they always show you giving in to the emotions and, oh, well, you know, Bruce Willis turns around and gives them a good punch, you know. And I'm like, you know, giving in and, you know, giving in to the emotion. Well, you just made me mad enough, so I'm just going to kill you. You know? And, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, you know, Babylon indoctrinates us, folks. We are indoctrinated with a mindset that you should give in to your emotions. If they make you mad enough, then you give in. You hold it, and you hold it as long as you can. But if they say one thing, oh, don't let them talk about your mama. And then you're ready to give in. But I'm telling you, you got to see how we've been indoctrinated, and you can't go by what you see on the movies. You can't follow the hero in the movie. You have to follow the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As I see in your mind, you have to see him carrying that rugged cross through the streets of Jerusalem, humiliated, being spat on, being beaten up a hill, and being nailed to a cross, humiliated. That's our Lord. That's what he did for us. And he says, take up your cross and follow me. That's what he says. So we got to get past all of this stuff that we see. And, you know, it's like we have, first of all, we have to recognize it. We can't treat it until we diagnose it. And we have to diagnose our mindset right now. That we've been indoctrinated, folks, to react a certain way and to be a certain way. And we've got to turn that around. And we got to get into our word and see what our Lord says about our behavior. Babylon. And you're not going to feel it. I'm telling you right now, your emotions are not going to line up with this. I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to warn you ahead of time. You're going to be biting your lip. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, once the Holy Spirit starts coming in, folks, you'll see yourself change. I can't wait till we get to the power of God, man. You'll see yourself change. I mean, if you can just look back, where you were 5 years ago, how you were behaving 5 years ago. I think about myself, I said, Lord, I'm embarrassed when I think about some of the way I was. I mean, my God, I was like, just a piece of work. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did in us. So your emotions, that's where we really have to get the power of the Holy Spirit to work on those emotions. It takes great faith to turn toward Christ as the lifter of your head. See, I think we get this idea that when we talk about the lifter of our head, we get this idea of us being down and depressed and just being in a heap. And Christ just comes along and just raises our spirits. There's more to it than just that. You got to deal with you. Because sometimes the reason why you're down in that heap with nothing, desolate, is because that's a good thinking spot for you. Because why would Christ lift you back up just so you can sin again? He's got you there for a reason. Don't think he dropped you. He didn't drop you. He knows exactly where you are. He stripped me of everything. And you think, you know, they said the heavens is brass and God, where are you? We need a little talk here. And I can't talk to you with you having all your stuff and all your status because you won't listen to me. You're too busy. You're too busy carrying out your agenda and you won't listen to me. So now you're in this place where only Christ can lift your head. You have no more your stuff, your quick fixes to lift your head. And he has you down there. And there's a conversation going on. I know you, these are personal conversations. Nobody knows but you and God, these conversations that you're having. And he wants that conversation because that conversation will determine whether or how quickly he can lift your head. I want to lift your head. I love you. I don't want to see you down there. But we have to have this conversation. I have to show you some things, daughter, son. I have to show you. Because when I lift your head, I want you to be better. When I lift you up, when I bless you again. I know that David was a better king when he came back to that palace than when he was before. Because see, all this before, he was looking out the window at somebody else's wife. And then used his power to bring her into the palace to lay with her. She conceived, and then he went and called her husband home and then had him killed. See, that was the before. This is David, the worshiper. The one that was in the field singing about Jesus, singing about God back then. See, sometimes as believers, we get into stuff. And we don't think God is seeing our stuff and our, you know. But see, after all that happened, David came back to the palace and he was better. I don't know if some of you guys have stories like that. See, I got a story like that. I got a story like that where the Christian Karen before and the Christian Karen after. I have a before and after. And most of us, if we're honest, we got a before and after story. Because God, he loves you too much to leave you like that. He couldn't leave David like that. He had to deal with David doing that. He had to. He's got to deal with us. So he takes us through these things, and I, when you read Psalm 3, I want you to see all of this when you're reading it. Yes, my enemies have come up against me. Yes, I messed up. Oh God, I've messed up. See, that's the part that we got to get to, because some of us think we can't read this because it was my fault. But this is the man that it was his fault. He's the one that wrote this. It was his fault. But he still called on the Lord. He understood the love of God so wonderfully. So if God wants to do it, do whatever you want to me, Lord. This is a man that said, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Do whatever you want to do, but whatever you do, don't take your Spirit away. And God took him through some things, stripped him of everything, but then he restored him as David learned. And as he grew in God, the Lord restored his life. So that's what this is about, folks. So knowing this name is what we're talking about today. The lifter of my head. So if you're down in that place, if you're in that desolate place, you and God need to have a conversation. I know, and sometimes we're stubborn. You're not talking to God. I've seen people. They're not talking to God. They're mad at God because you took my stuff, and I'm mad at you. And God will wait. He'll wait. Temper tantrum. On the floor. You ain't got nothing, but you're mad. You remind me of a little toddler. Don't have anything. Just sitting there. Pouting. No power. No power, can't feed themselves, can't dress it, nothing. But I'm mad. I'm mad at Daddy. I'm mad at Mama. Sitting in a dirty diaper, yeah. That's the way we are. All in our mess, pouting. And I'll tell you, God will wait. And I'll tell you something about God. He said, you know, a day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as a day, folks. So God can wait. He can wait us out.
He must laugh, though, when he's doing it.
I tell you. You know what? I think maybe part of him laughs, but I think in his heart he weeps. Because he wants to lift your head. He doesn't want you sitting there without and suffering without. He doesn't want you. His heart is breaking because he's got so much for you, so many blessings. I want to give them the blessing, but I know it would ruin them if I give them the blessing now. Because they're not willing to talk to me. They're not willing to submit to me. As the scripture says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time.
Hallelujah.
So I'm telling you, wherever you are in this, folks, at some point you're going to have to deal with him. And better, oh God, deal with him on this side.
Oh, yeah.
Of heaven, okay? Deal with him on this side of living. Because you don't want to deal with him on the other side, because some people do that. They are mad and they will pout with God until they leave this earth. And then they really have to deal with him then. So it takes humility and trust in God. It takes the power of God to lift your head. That humility issue comes up over and over again. And again, I hope you're seeing that's why our Savior came the way he did, in humility. Because he needed to show us that more than anything. One of the major things he needed to show mankind was humility. So our next point, the basis for our confidence is simply this. No one can take from any of us what God wants us to have.
Amen.
Isn't that true? There's no reason for you to be jealous of anybody, to be fighting somebody. See, David had the mantle. God made him king. So, okay, they're overrunning the palace. I have to leave. He left. It didn't change the mantle. So we got to see that. Whatever God gave you, he's holding it. Not humans, he's holding it. David was anointed by the prophet of God as king of Israel. And David died as king of Israel. Even though it appears as if his enemies had stolen away his crown, God went before his chosen one and prevailed over his enemies. And he did that. God will do this same for you as you turn to him as the lifter of your head. As I said, the enemy will try to steal your positionings, whatever it is, gifts, talents, your parenting. You know, and I don't know why that keeps coming up, but parenting. Parents, God made you mom and dad, okay? I know there are people that will creep into your life, try to steal your children away. Try to steal them away with all kind of craziness and all kind of stuff, whether they're gangs or just people that are manipulative that will try and steal your kids away. God, set that mantle upon you and be secure in that. You keep praying and fighting for your children. You keep praying for them because that mantle of parenthood is something. It's a powerful mantle, and it is. God placed it on your life. So don't let any enemy think that you have to shrink back on that. Don't let he'll lie to you. Don't shrink back. Our final point, to know this name, the lifter of my head, we must know what it is to trust God through the fire and to walk beside him in the battle. I tell you, don't go off fighting on your own, okay?
You're going to lose.
Yes. And it's easy to do when you're in the battle because I said emotions, 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 folks. And I keep saying emotions because you need to recognize that they're there, you know. If your blood is at a low simmer, you need to turn on some praise and worship. You need to walk away. You need to start praying within yourself when you feel your blood just getting hot. To know that, for though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, we are not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh and using the weapons of man. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you get in a prayer and God will bring down walls for you. You won't even know what happened from Monday to Tuesday except that God brought down a wall. I've seen it happen. I didn't have to say a word. I didn't have to give a speech, and I love to give speeches. I didn't have to give a speech. I didn't have to give a lecture. God just changed it overnight after prayer. After prayer. I'm telling you, people will come to you and say, kids will come, your kids will say stuff differently to you. That teenager you've been praying for, they'll come in like, you know, I decided not to do that, you know, because... And you'd be like, thank you, Jesus, inside. You know, you can't let them know that you've been, oh, really? Okay. That's a good decision. Okay, well, yeah, okay, all right. And you know you've been in your prayer closet praying, oh, God, don't let them go down that road. Don't let them go down that road. God will bring down walls. He says it right here. He'll destroy fortresses for you. We have got to recognize where the battle is really being fought and stage our attack there. We need to enter into our war room and defeat our real enemy. And then as Christ, your commander in chief, speaks, act accordingly. He is the commander in chief. Act accordingly. That's our issue. The truth is, we don't know what we're doing. So we need a commander-in-chief to give us orders. That's why the soldiers, you know, you get these young kids, you know, they train them. They train them how to shoot a gun. They train them how to do this. But they train them how to follow orders. Because those orders can save their life on the battlefield. Because they're young, they're inexperienced. They don't know what they're doing. And some of us are the same way. We don't know what we're doing on the earth. You don't know what... the snares and the traps that Satan has set up for you all over the place. You didn't even see it coming. You didn't even, the accident. Oh my God, I wasn't expecting that. On top of that, Listen to the commander in chief. And the Lord will show you. He has shown me so many things. I have avoided so many traps because he showed me ahead of time. He said, don't do that. Because I was ready, man. I was ready. I had all my backup. I was ready, okay? I had all my reasons why. And I was ready. And the truth be known, I was in the flesh. I was, okay? And I would hear the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit said, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And I'm so glad. I look back, I'm like, thank you, Holy Spirit. Had I done that, this would have happened and that would have happened. I would have destroyed myself and someone else. Lord, I thank you. Hear the commander-in-chief when he speaks and act accordingly. And I promise you, he will lift your head.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Any comments? There we go. Got to hear from.
First of all, I want to thank all who prayed for my Nathan this last week.
Yeah.
I sure appreciate their prayer. But talk about being attacked, and it was in the hospital. You know, we have to keep in mind that God knows it all, and he knows why he puts us through what he puts us through. That while you were teaching this class, Sister Karen, I thought to myself, you know what? David knew how to repent.
Mm-hmm. He did.
He knew how to repent.
Yes.
He knew the hellhole he came from and what he did and what's happening and where he is going now with what his past was.
Yes. Yes.
While I was in the hospital with my son, as you know, he was an eight. You know, he don't talk, he don't walk. He went in the hospital. Well, Mama got there and I found him in a state of a mess. Well, naturally, but you know, all through the time I was talking to the doctor and the nurses about the mess he was in and the state he was in, I felt such a peace because I knew that. After it was all said and done, I knew there were people praying for me. Because all I would do is just pray, I'm going to the hospital, Lord God, Holy Spirit, come with me today.
Yeah.
So after I found Nathan in that puddle of mess, and it was not a good sight, I told the doctor and the nurses that came in of what I had went through that morning with my son, and I'm not tolerating. And my voice, as you know, it carries. it carries. That's just the way I talk. Well, somebody must have heard it in the hall that I done this complaining about what was going on. And the next day, the state came in. The big gun.
Wow.
And she pulled me aside and she asked me how everything was going and where she was from and this and that. And I told her, you know, I says, I'm not here to rattle anybody's cage, but I want my son taken care of. And he is not being taken care of. My son can't talk. I am his mouthpiece. And I'm not going to put up with this nonsense. She was very nice about it, the lady of the state. And afterwards, after that, he was treated like royalty. And I thought to myself, you know, Lord, and I told him, I told the doctor and I told that lady of the state, I'm going to be leaving here in a day or two or three, whatever. But this is uncalled for, very unprofessional. But while I was speaking, Sister Karen, I thought about it. This is my son. And then after I got back and we dealt with, I thought of the Lord. How he put his son, his begotten son, sinless son, on a cross for us mm-hmm. and then we want to be playing games. Mm-hmm. We speak when we have to speak. Holy Spirit, help us to not let our mm-hmm. emotions get off and argue. I didn't argue with them people, mm-hmm. but I did know that I wasn't going to put up with this nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were saying about we're not voicing things, do it in the right spirit.
Right,
right. Do it in the right spirit. Mm-hmm. And always keep in mind that God knows what we're going through. So I just praise God because, like I told the lady, she did come in from the state the next couple of days to check on me and see how things were going. And I told her, you know what, I just praise God, I told her, that my son's tests are all coming back negative. I said, so this thing that happened, hopefully we all learned from it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's back to like you were saying,
yeah.
our emotions could take us into mm-hmm. a... And I just felt God's peace through
mm-hmm.
it all.
Mm-hmm.
And again,
yeah.
I thank you, ladies. And don't be afraid to talk to people in authority. Because we have the great authority of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
These are just people doing a job, and they sometimes neglect their job. And if they're there out of a paycheck, like I told that lady of the state, and they're not there with a little bit of compassion for the human being, get them out of there. They shouldn't be in that field. And we people, as God's people, need to keep this in mind, that we are people and we are Holy Spirit-filled people that don't have to be afraid of the things that happen in our life, and always voice in the right spirit.
Yeah.
And I thank God for that. But David, back to our class, man, he was such a man of repentance. That's
mm-hmm.
what I always think
mm-hmm.
about David.
Mm-hmm.
He knew how to repent. And praise God for that. And again, thank you all for your prayers. I felt God's hand all through the 7 days I was there.
Hallelujah.
And I thank God because it's people like you that were praying for me, that all I was doing
mm-hmm.
is trying to take care of myself. Thank you.
Okay. And I agree with you, Virginia. You speak the truth in love. It's not that
yeah.
you don't speak the truth, but
no,
you speak
no.
the truth in love. Because there's so many people. See, what I've learned is what the Lord is showing you is that there's so many people in the world, in your day, that you are ministering to. It's not just your child. It is the nurses. It is the lady from the state. It could be so many people that you have the opportunity to minister to through this whole situation. Yes, it needs to be addressed, but you speak the truth in love, and you go from there. Holy Spirit, show me how to do this, because I've had to tell people some hard things too. You know, they didn't want to hear it, but I had to tell them the hard things. But I thank God that He gave me the right spirit, that I didn't do it. And I've even had people that came back and said, thank you, that at least you took me aside and you cared enough about me to tell me the truth. And you didn't make a big scene, and you could have made a big scene like other people have and embarrassed me in front of everybody. But you told me the truth. I didn't want to hear it at the time, but you did tell me the truth. And so, yeah, I love the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is about balance, and He's about temperance, and we do need to speak the truth, but we speak it in love. And that's where, and boy, and we need the Holy Spirit for that.
Similar situation when both my parents, I was taking care of them from 2003 until my
mm-hmm.
dad passed in 2008. My mom passed in 2006, but they were both in the hospital at different times.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed with them around the clock because I had had bad experiences with them previous to their final days. But, you know, when you, you know, like Sister Virginia was saying, you tell people, and we know that we have to say the things in love. In Penrose, when my dad had to have his colostomy because he had cancer, he had his surgery right after my mom had passed, like a month after we had to take him for his surgery, after he'd done his chemo and all of that. Well, then he couldn't hear it, and he couldn't have his hearing aid on. And I needed to be there with him in ICU, which is very unusual. And so I told the night nurse, I said, I promise, I'll sit back in the corner. I won't make a word. I won't say anything. I'll just sit quietly back here just so I can see if my dad, he can see me, because they had him laying on his side. If he can see me, he'll be okay. He knows that he's not alone. The night nurse let me stay that. Well, I stayed there two nights with him until they moved in the third day. But the point being was that they had an emergency with another patient on the ICU floor. She couldn't come and assist my dad when he needed. So whenever he needed something, he'd let me know, and I'd go over and help him. That next morning, she told me, she said, thank God that you were here. She said, because if you hadn't have been here, she says, he would have been neglected, because we had this emergency happen over here, and they were short-staffed.
Yeah.
So, you know, God is so good to allow us to be in those situations, you know. And but, it's about remembering that everybody has their own little story, their own little issues that they're working with. And not everybody understands, you know, that just saying a kind word to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just saying, I know you're doing the best you can.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when there is something that they need to be, and we did have to address some really strong issues with my dad later when they moved him to another floor.
Yeah.
One of the ladies came in to change his colostomy, and he asked her, what are you doing? And she said, never mind, you just lay back there and be quiet. Mm-hmm. Oh, we took issue with that, and we just took her aside and we told her, you tell him what you're doing. You have to respect him, and that's his body you're working on. So you tell him everything that you're doing, and you answer his questions. And then she apologized. But, you know, they get busy, and they want to treat they get busy, and they want their patients to just lay there and be quiet.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to be understanding, too, but the Holy Spirit is the only one that can give us that can give us that ability.
Yeah, and you're right, Joanne. The Holy Spirit can give you a step-by-step and a blow-by-blow on what you should do at every minute and every second. There's no, you know, there's no rule book on what you should do from here to here. And the Bible, you know, says, will give us guidelines, like speak the truth in love.
Yes.
You know, forgive. Yes. You know, love people, minister to people. You
and
know.
That this one particular nurse not be allowed to come in his room at all because she did not stop being mean.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was rude to the entire family. So we just went to the doctor and said, you know, we just want that nurse to stay out of the room. We'll be here with him and we'll call other people, the other nurses.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it gets to the point sometimes where you just have to say, this is it. That person doesn't need to be around us for some reason. There's a problem going on with them that is not appropriate. So just
And again, it's about balance.
Yeah.
It's about hearing the Holy Spirit in those situations when your emotions are high, you know, because, you know, you need to speak something, you know, and again, especially when you have to speak something. You want to be wrapped in the Holy Spirit at that point. You've got to speak a truth to somebody, and you have to, but you want yourself to remain under control, you know.
And that's why you keep your head up.
Yes.
Because you didn't do it in those days.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's so important, you know, to have people praying for you and for a person to say, Lord, I need you right now. Lord, stay with me. Lord, I want to hear you.
Yeah.
You keep talking to the Lord. I mean, we have that Bible open constantly.
Yeah.
You know, word.
Yeah. So again, just hearing the commander in chief on what to do. Anybody else? Any other comments before we're basically out of time? Okay. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and we thank you for your mercy. Lord God, we thank you. Lord God, for your word. Oh God, your word is just in season at all times, Lord God. It tells us what to do from moment to moment, from day to day, Lord God. Your Holy Spirit is with us. Lord, I just pray that we would grow even in a greater sensitivity to your Holy Spirit, even when we have to say the hard things. when we have to do the hard things, Lord God. I pray for the Holy Spirit, Lord God, to just wrap us up in his love, Lord God, and in his spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for this word, and I pray again that we would digest it. Oh, Lord, that we would take it into ourselves, Lord God, that it would operate in our lives, Lord God. Oh, Father, I pray that this week that you would lift our heads. Lord, I pray that if we have closed you off to certain conversations, Lord God, that we would open those conversations again so you can lift our heads and take us on, Lord God. Oh, Father, we thank you and we expect you this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Who called my name?
A while back I talked about this family that we were counseling with that we suspect that Munchausen by proxy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the child is getting better, but we found out that now that the mothers are doing some really heavy-duty drugs. So DHS has come back into the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're hoping that the father's going to get full custody of the three
uh-huh.
kids.
Uh-huh.
So if everybody could just pray that God's will be done in this situation,
mm-hmm.
and that the father would be able to get the full custody.
Okay.
For these
What's the name of the child?
Well, there's three of them.
Okay.
Just
first name. I just one.
What's Benito?
Benito.
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 Is the little boy that was
okay.
sick, but he's getting better.
Okay.
So we know that was going something was going on because as soon as authorities were called in, he started getting well.
Okay.
But now. The mother, we know she's on hard drugs.
Okay.
So
we want to pray for Benito
yes.
and his family.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that the father would get the full custody of the children.
Okay.
And that,
okay.
You know, there would be no muss, no fuss. Everything would just go according to God's, his hand would
mm-hmm.
just move
mm-hmm.
and protect the finances yes. and the property and we just put a bloodline around the property and all
mm-hmm.
of his finances and all of his things because it's a hard thing to deal with.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we pray for the mother also.
The whole family.
Yes.
The whole family needs healing. Yes, and we will.
Yes,
okay, I will.
I'll grab one next
okay,
week.
Okay.
I just shared Mary.
Here's one.
Well, I don't want to take it though with it.
Well, this is the original.
Okay.
And
you
I can always
need it.
No, I don't need. This
okay,
is one of the copies. And
thank you.
I'll bring
and
you some more.
Rita usually picks up my paper, so she might have gotten me one.
Uh huh.
But she's not here today, so
okay.
I can't ask her. So if
okay.
I have an extra one, I'll give it back.
Okay.
To you.
Okay. I love you too, Miss Terry.
Thank you.
Thank you for
what the Holy Spirit gives you and that you give it to us.
Thank you.
Okay,
we're gonna go ahead and get started in our lesson today. Just several announcements on the table. We have several handouts. You probably need more of these, but this is the handout that Rose was talking about on prayer. Just things that we need to read over and just to pray for Pueblo County in particular. You know, we have just a few over there, but if somebody would go and make some copies, if you guys know the code to the copier and make copies, but if not, I will bring more copies next week, okay? So if you don't get one, we'll bring more copies next week. And also, I brought about 20 copies of this. We handed this out before. This has to do with the seven mountains of the earth. It has to do with just areas like the media, government, the economy, education, religion, celebration, arts and entertainment, and family. Just seven mountains that It was actually Johnny Enlow that broke the earth up into these seven mountains that we need to pray about. So on this sheet, I actually put some details, like praying over Facebook, praying over Twitter, praying over the news media, because the news media, you know, if they are not prayed over, they can manipulate humanity to do almost anything or to think almost anything. So we want to just pray over the media and everything else. Government, of course, we have an election coming up, and folks, we need to be in prayer like never before over this election. But even as all these things are going on, I always want to encourage the people of God that God is winning this thing. People are coming. I was just talking to some folks that were talking about how Muslims are coming to Christ and how people all over the earth are just coming to Christ. And, you know, this group that was so set against the Lord Jesus Christ, now their hearts are softening, and Muslims are coming to Jesus Christ. The Jewish people are coming to Jesus Christ by the hundreds. You know, so we know that this is the end time revival that he talked about as the people are coming, Lord, even in the face of all the tragedy and all the suffering that's going on our earth, God is saving. So we just want to stay in prayer. It's going to take prayer, folks. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by political parties. It's not by conversations. It's not by wars and fighting. It's going to be by his Spirit, saith the Lord. So we're going to have to pray if we want his Spirit to sweep over this earth and change us and help humankind. I'm working on the lesson that's upcoming. It's called The Power of God, and it is such a powerful lesson as we understand the power of God. So, but today we are going to continue our lesson, The Lifter of My Head, and this is also a very powerful lesson. Because folks, so many times our heads are down, and even if we may physically have our heads up, but within ourselves our heads are down, and our hearts are down, and our hearts are discouraged, and our hearts are depressed. So this lesson is so that we can encourage ourselves and understand who we are as the children of the living God, and understand what it is to have your head really lifted. Not just putting on a face or a facade, but really understand what it is to have the Lord Jesus Christ lift your head. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We don't take it for granted, Lord God, that we can come together and worship you, Lord, with freedom, Lord God. Father, we don't take it for granted all that you have blessed us with, Lord God. And I pray today, Lord, that you would bless your word today, Lord God, that we would take it in, that we would digest it and make it a part of our lives, Lord God, because if we're just taking it, if this is just a hobby, if this is just a habit that we do every Sunday, Lord, it means nothing. But, Lord, I pray that you would change us with your word. Change us by your Holy Spirit, Lord God. And not just in this room, but, Lord, sweep through this entire house of God. Sweep through the sanctuary, Lord God. Move by your Spirit, Lord God. And not just in this house of God, but all of the houses of God all over the world that proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you would move by your Spirit, Lord God. We are encouraged by the testimonies, Lord, that we hear, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, wherever your word is, oh Lord, whether it's on the street corner, wherever your word is coming up, Lord God, we pray together that it does not return unto you void, but it accomplishes that you sent it forth to do. So Lord, we thank you. Encourage your people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And so we're going to continue this lesson, The Lifter of My Head. And as I said, it's such an important lesson. Our key scripture is, again, Psalm 3:3, and it says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and my honor, and the one who lifts my head." And even as we look at the beginning, the first two words of this scripture, it says, "But you." That means something came before he said this. He was talking about what he had gone through and what was going on and all the troubles. Just like today, we talk about all the troubles and all the things going on. And then he gets to the conclusion, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and honor, and the one who lifts my head." And last week we talked about the authority that Christ has and that his authority reigns over all the earth, over anything. And if you want your head really lifted up, then we have to let Christ lift your head. He is the only one that can lift the head of humanity. And we talked about the prodigal son and how the story of the prodigal son is really the story of humanity. You know, a son that left his father's house, thought he knew what to do, you know, and thought he knew a better way, just like we thought we knew a better way in the garden. So we listened to a lie, and we actually left the father's house and went out into the world. And out in the world, you know, for a while it was good, and he spent all his money. The world just took everything he had and left him eating with pigs. Is it not the story of humanity? Just left him in a destitute place where he was eating with the pigs. And then finally he came to himself. He came to himself and he said, I'm going to make a sacrifice. I'm going to make, when I go back home, I'm going to go back home because I'm thinking about how wonderful it was in my father's house. How even my father's servants have enough to eat. And here I am eating with pigs. And he got up and he said to himself, I'm going to go back. And he came back prepared to make that sacrifice. And we compared that with the sacrifice of the bulls and the goats that the priests were doing. They were making those sacrifices so that they could appease God and all of this stuff. And we know the scripture says that the blood of bulls and goats could do it. It took the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in order to really change things, to cover our sin, to wash us clean of our sin from where we had been. So back to the story of the prodigal son. So when the father saw him, I mean from afar off, he went out and he embraced him and he kissed him and he was ready to make those sacrifices. But the father just brought him on into the house like he did us. When he sent Jesus Christ, that was the embrace and the kiss of the father. Don't you understand? While we were still afar off, while we were yet sinners, the scripture says, Christ died for us. So the father sent that kiss and that embrace to us. And he took us back into his house. We didn't deserve it, but he took us back into his house. And not only did he bring us back into the house, but he made a banquet and set a feast before us. And that's our story. That's the story of humanity. And that's how Christ came, and he lifts our head. But some of us, we still have these issues. Even as we came into the Father's house, we still want to make those sacrifices because we still want to do all this stuff. You know, but all these things don't lift our head. Only as we accept the embrace and the kiss of the Father is our head truly lifted up, and we can live as sons and daughters of the living God. We don't have to live as servants. We can live as sons and daughters. We can lift our heads again and live in the Father's house as he intended for us to be in the first place. So it's everything is restored. So today we're going to go a little deeper. We're going to talk about knowing this name. And in this section, our key verse is from Psalm 3 again, verses 1 and 2. And these are the two verses that came before the third verse. It says, O Lord, how my enemies have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of me, there is no help, no salvation for him in God. Don't you know Satan will lie to you? I'm telling you, I see why Jesus called him the father of lies. I wonder, of all the names Jesus could have called him, why did he call him the father of lies? Because he lies to us constantly. He can't make you do anything. But if he can lie to you and make you believe the lie, and then you do it, that's where he gets you. And then after he gets you to believe the lie, he accuses you before the Father. Like, see? See how they're sinning? He accuses us, just like he did Adam and Eve. That's what would happen to Adam and Eve. They were lied to. God, he doesn't want you to eat of this tree because he doesn't want you to be like him. So he's the father of lies. So even here, as we look at Psalm 3, someone is saying there is no help. No salvation for him and God. And again, this is a lie, folks. You got to know when Satan is lying to you because he wants your head hung down low. He wants you depressed. He wants you hopeless. So he will lie to you. So the first point on our lesson says, to know Christ as the lifter of my head, you must understand what he lifts and how he lifts your head in desperate circumstances. Now get this next point. It takes being in a desperate situation to know this name. It takes being in a desperate situation. I don't know about some of you all, but I've been in a desperate situation. Okay? I have been in a desperate situation, and that's where I learned how God could lift my head. See, to be intimate with this name, you have to know what it is to be in a desperate situation. You know, some people, when we're in worship service, sometimes you can watch people worship. And some people worship a little more passionate than the others. You know, some people, you know, I see them come down to the front because they have to come down to the front. There's something compels them. Some people dance, you know, because they just have to dance. You know, they just have to express themselves to God in a passionate way. And when you have gone through some things, when you have had the Lord lift you up out of a miry, yucky, hopeless place, you understand why they dance. See, when the scriptures talked about David in 2 Samuel chapter 6, just write that scripture down. I'm just going to tell you the story how David brought the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. See, and David danced. The scripture says David danced until his clothes came off. That's how happy David was. David danced. I can just see David. I think he was dancing like them old Pentecostal saints used to dance, man. I'm telling you, I grew up in a church where they could dance, honey. And I'm telling you, the scripture says that David danced until his clothes fell off. And I'm wondering, but if you look at the story of what happened, see, the Ark of the Covenant was taken by their enemy. And the enemy eventually gave the Ark of the Covenant back because their land was so cursed with that Ark of the Covenant that they actually gave it back to the children of Israel. Take it. We don't even want it in our land because the God that's attached to this ark has cursed our land. So the ark kind of stood in a certain place, and then David, as king, decided he was going to go get the Ark of the Covenant to bring it back into Jerusalem. So David, some of you know the story, he built a new cart, beautiful, beautiful cart, to bring the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. And he went, he put the ark on the cart, and they were rolling it in to Jerusalem, and then it got to a certain point and it fell, one of the wheels fell or broke or something, and the Ark of the Covenant started to fall off the cart, and one of the people that was there was Uzzah, and Uzzah put out his hand to keep the ark from falling off, and God struck him dead right there. And David was discouraged when that happened, so he left the cart at Obed-Edom's house. And they just left the Ark of the Covenant there, and David went back to the palace, and it was like he was discouraged within himself because he was like, well, I'm trying to bring your glory back. You know, have you ever been there just trying to, like, Lord, I'm trying to do what I think you want me to do. But sometimes, folks, I'm telling you, sometimes we don't know the word. We forgot the word. So David went, and I know he had to have studied the word of God, because the Ark of the Covenant is not to be rolled in on a cart. You don't bring the glory of God in on a cart. The glory of God has to be carried in on the shoulders of the priest. And that's how the Ark of the Covenant needed to come in. So David went back, and he got the priest, and David himself. I mean, you got to love this man. You know, because he's the one that he lifts my head. He, I'm discouraged. I'm trying to bring the glory of God back into this city that I'm supposed to be, or this kingdom I'm supposed to be ruling, and yet this stuff is happening. You know, I mean, have you been there when you're trying to pray and you're trying to get a breakthrough and you're trying to get some, and it's like, and then you remember, let me go back to your word, Lord. Let me pray, Lord. Let me just go back into what you said. And he went back and he got the priest this time. And he himself put on an ephod. The ephod is the priestly robe. And David himself, even though he was king, he put on the robe of a priest. He said, because today I'm going to be a priest. See, if you want your head lifted up, sometimes you got to take off all your status stuff. Because some of us, we're fancy, you know, and there's nothing wrong with being fancy, but sometimes, folks, I don't know about y'all, sometimes I have to get on my face before God. I have to have my nose on the floor before God because I need my head lifted up. And David, he took off that kingly stuff and he put on the robe of a priest. The people that come right before God, the people that intercede, he wanted to be that person. And he went back to Obed-Edom's house, and they got they got the Ark of the Covenant. And he had heard also that Obed-Edom's house was being blessed also because the Ark was there. So he went and he got the Ark. And they said every six paces they stopped and made a sacrifice. Can you imagine? Every 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, sacrifice. Another six paces, and they made a sacrifice. They said every six paces, they made a sacrifice. And then they finally entered the gates of Jerusalem with that ark. And that's when he danced until his clothes fell off.
It's in 2 Samuel 6,
you're not sure
where.
But just read the whole chapter. Read. Hold on, Margaret. Just read the whole chapter, okay? 2 Samuel 6. Just read the whole chapter. Read the whole chapter. It's in there. And I tell you to read the whole chapter because you need to hear the whole story. You know, not just one verse. Read the story so you can hear the whole atmosphere of this. And I'm just trying to set you up on how we have to be when the Lord lifts our head, when we finally turn to him. Because so many times, folks, when our head is down, when our head is lifted, we turn to everything else. Everything else. We turn to all of our quick fixes, all of our little things that help us. Even in Christendom, even as Christians, we turn to little things. You know, I got to talk it over with my friend. I got to do this. You know, I've got to do that. And, you know, and it comes to a point where you've got to seek God for yourself. You got to know God for yourself. Jesus died so you could have it. He died so you could have a personal relationship. And I'll tell you something that I know, I believe about Jesus. Jesus will set you up so that you have to come to him. He has set me up on more than one occasion. I mean, I couldn't even reach my mama, okay? I couldn't even reach my mama. And he sets you up. So you have to come to him for yourself. You can't reach mama and daddy. So he sets you up like that. So you have to come to him when your head is low and you think he has forgotten you and you think he... No! He is setting you up and he's watching so that you will come to him so he can lift your head. So it takes being in a situation where the very foundations of your life are being threatened. David was in a situation, this is another situation that David found himself, when Absalom, his own family, betrayed him and sought to destroy his kingdom. And this is in 2 Samuel 15. You know, here he is running the kingdom and his own family. See, folks, that's why, you know, again, I go back to this verse, and I know some people don't like to hear this verse, but Jesus said, whoever loves mother, father, sister, brother, husband, wife, son, or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And that's a hard scripture sometimes to digest. You know, as much as you love your family, but I'm telling you, if you love family more than you love Jesus, you're going to be in trouble. Because family is, they're humans. I'm sure David loved his family. But here was his son Absalom that was coming up against him. And David had to know where he needed to stand with all this. So we're going to talk more about Absalom in a bit. But the next point on our list is the word head. Used in this verse, Psalm 3:3, the lifter of my head, relates to a person's right, authority, or position. David is essentially saying, what and who I am is being assaulted, and that's from our book. What and who I am is being assaulted. Have you been there? Somebody's assaulting who you are.
Yeah.
Who you have been established to be on the earth, and somebody comes along and tries to assault that. But Lord, you will lift up my rights. Lord, the Lord will lift up your position and your authority and the authority that he gave you. See, certain things, certain mantles God gave you, certain talents that you have and certain abilities, he gave you. Even when it comes to motherhood and fatherhood, because motherhood and fatherhood are leadership positions. And God put that mantle on you when he gave you that child. And some, you know, the enemy will come in and he'll try to steal even that away. As sacred as that is, the enemy will try and steal it all over this nation. This gang, the gangs that have risen up all over this nation, and they try to replace the family. They try to replace the parents. Again, young people, kids being lied to, and the enemy trying to assault your head. You know, whatever God has given you, so many things, I mean, I'm sure things go through your head right now, things that God, you know God gave it to you. You know God established you in certain places, certain positionings, and here comes the enemy assaulting. And so when we're talking about the lifting of your head by the Lord, it has to do with the authority and the rights that he has placed on you and in your life. And he will lift that up. He will give that to you. When the Lord sets a mantle on a man or woman of God, he will lift them up against any enemy, and he will judge them. And people say, well, who's going to judge the man or woman of God? God will take care of them. God will judge them if they sin. Trust me on that one. But be careful when God has placed a mantle. You know, even if you want that mantle, because that's how we get. We get prideful, we get jealous, we get envious of someone else's mantle. And we want that mantle. So we attack the person that has the mantle. Be careful. Be careful, especially if that person is praying. Be careful. God will deal with that thing. He will lift up their head. This is a promise he makes to his people. The next point, one can only imagine the various and powerful emotions that David was wrapped in during this episode in his life. He could call on the army and kill his son, or allow his son to take over the nation God told David to lead. See, he's conflicted here. David had to trust God even over his family. So to know God, to know this name, the lifter of my head, is to look to Christ even when you are conflicted because of your emotions for someone, or conflicted over your bloodline. And you know what? The thing about Jesus, he knows you're conflicted. He knew David was conflicted. You know, David, I got to protect the nation. I got to protect the people. God has set the mantle on me as king. But here my son has now risen up as my enemy. Folks, it happens. It happens all the time. And I think that's where so many of us fall. Because we're so conflicted within ourselves. And sometimes when you're conflicted, you don't pray. Because you don't want to hear what God would have, what God has to say. Especially if you know that's family that's messing up, and that's family that's sinning in the face of God, you don't want to pray. But you have to pray. Take it to the Lord. Leave it at his feet. Let him deal with it. He knows when you're conflicted. The next point, David chose to submit the situation to God. Noteworthy is David's refusal to assert his own authority. He was determined instead to allow the Lord to defend him. This is from our book. David deliberately turned his mind unto God and his ability and willingness to rescue him. He even took a curse made toward him and turned it toward a blessing from God. I love this man. Even when people were cursing him, this is in 2 Samuel 16:12, when the family of Saul, they ran into David and they started cursing him because he took Saul's position. Because you all know the story, David and Saul, and Saul rose up against David, and you know, David was a warrior trying to defend Israel against the enemy, fought Goliath and did all these things, and the king gets jealous and starts attacking David to the point where he actually has to go into leave Israel. He can't even stay in there because the king is after him to destroy him. And so we get to this point where David is made king, and they run into one of David's relatives, and he starts cursing David. May you be cursed. May you be cursed. May you be cursed. And as this happens, instead of David again turning and attacking and telling him, well, you know, if Saul hadn't done this, and that didn't come out of his mouth. What he said is, if it's the Lord's will, you know, if the Lord wants to curse me, let him. You know, I mean, can you see the relationship this guy had with God? He was like, hey, if God wants to do it, let him do it. I'm not going to argue the point. If God wants to, then let my life be in God's hands. And that's where we are. Folks, you know, I'm telling you, and you saw what God did for David, just kept him and protected him. Now, David did have a fault, you know, the sin with Bathsheba. And the prophet did tell David that the sword would never depart from your home. And this is part of what happened with Absalom and different things like that. But the Lord always came back and restored David from according to the mantle that was on David. The mantle that he placed on him as king of Israel. And to this day, till this day, the Israeli flag dons the Star of David. The greatest king they ever had. Why? Because God put that mantle on him. And because of his heart toward God. He was so careful and he was so willing to allow God to lift his head. He wasn't going to lift his head. You know, because sometimes we lift our heads, we try to lift our heads by telling people off. We try to lift our heads by exerting the authority or the power that we have in our hands. And we try to lift ourselves up that way. Well, let me tell you. Or we get angry and we want to fight. And we want to hurt that person in some way. And we think that's going to lift our heads. It makes you feel worse. But see, the enemy will lie to you and tell you, you'll feel better if you just smack them.
Yeah.
You know? Really? Just punch him one. And you're going to feel so much better, but you're not. The enemy will tell you that stuff. You'll feel better if you go behind their back and do... He will lie to you. All these things that he will tell you, and he'll tell you, these things will lift your head, but I'm telling you, it won't lift your head. It won't lift your head. And, you know, again, I go back to the key verse that David said, oh, Lord, how my enemies have increased. People are cursing me. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of me, there is no help, no salvation for him in God. And then, but thou, O Lord, are a shield about me. You're my glory. And the lifter up of my head. Folks, these are scriptures that you want to just engrave on your heart. Because life is hard every day, folks. Life is hard. And on any given day, you're going to need this. Because people are going to be saying stuff to you, jabbing you all kind of ways, trying to bring your head down, trying to bring your head down, trying to bring your head down. But thou, O Lord, our shield, you lift my head. You encourage me once again. You let me know everything's going to be all right.
Glory.
You are a shield about me. Even though they're talking about me and they're cursing me, Lord, I stay within your will. I stay within your shielding. See, we have to stay within the shielding of the Lord. As you look at this man David and you see how he stayed within the shielding of the Lord.
And where is that?
He didn't get out there. Our key verse at the beginning of your lesson, the key verse, Psalm 3:3. The key verse. So he lifts your head. He truly lifts your head. David did not curse back, but he trusted God that he could lift his head through any and all circumstances, even when people cursed him. The next point, just like David, if you want to know God as the lifter of your head, you must deliberately turn your face toward his face in the heat of opposition. And that's hard to do, folks. When you're in the heat of opposition, when you don't know how you're going to pay the bills, when you don't know, the hardest thing to do is to turn your face toward God. But I encourage you to do it. Fall on your face. Turn on the praise and worship if you need to. Fall on your face. Quote the scripture, Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. I mean, if you can't do anything, just open to Psalm 3 and start reading. This is your prayer right here. For the just turn there and start reading, and that is your prayer to the Lord God in the heat of opposition. You must look to the Lord for yourself and declare that he will come to your defense and say like David, Lord, you are the one who lifts my fallen, rejected by man's rights.
Yes, God, thank you.
Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, this is not a passive or wimpy posture. Because again, that's what the liar is going to tell you. You are such a wimp. You need to stand up for yourself. Man, you just let everybody just walk on you. You need to say something. Did you see the way they talk to you? You don't have to take that. Be careful of the liar. He's trying to get you to come from outside the shielding. Because once you come out, you go tell somebody off and you come out that shielding, he'll accuse you. See? They're not trusting you, God. Did you see? They're not trusting you. The Bible says he is the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses you before God, day and night. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. It covers us. But he accuses us. See, I thought they were yours. I thought they trusted you. Did you see what they did? Don't come from outside of the shielding. In the heat of opposition, you keep your face in prayer. This is not passive. This is not wimpy. This is a strong posture. No matter how it may appear to natural man, David was actually being assertive. He was being assertive. You know, there was a point where he left the palace and Absalom came in. He left the palace. I mean, this is his son. This is the kid that he raised. How dare he? But David, I'm telling you, I think that's so amazing. Even in the face of his own child, he says, I'm going to stay in God. And if it's time to leave, I'm going to leave the palace, but I'm going to stay in God. How shameful it may have appeared for him to have to leave the palace. And they say Absalom came in and he did all kind of things, you know, in the palace and disrespected his dad in all kind of ways. But David stayed. He stayed in the Lord. He stayed in the Lord through this. It takes intestinal fortitude to turn toward God in the heat of attack. Oh, it's easy to give in to your will and human power and your emotions. That's easy. Folks, I mean, I see some of the movies that are out, and they always show you giving in to the emotions and, oh, well, you know, Bruce Willis turns around and gives them a good punch, you know. And I'm like, you know, giving in and, you know, giving in to the emotion. Well, you just made me mad enough, so I'm just going to kill you. You know, And yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, you know, Babylon indoctrinates us, folks. We are indoctrinated with a mindset that you should give in to your emotions. If they make you mad enough, then you give in. You hold it, and you hold it as long as you can. But if they say one thing, oh, don't let them talk about your mama.
Come on.
And then you're ready to give in. But I'm telling you, you got to see how we've been indoctrinated, and you can't go by what you see on the movies. You can't follow the hero in the movie. You have to follow the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As I see in your mind, you have to see him carrying that rugged cross through the streets of Jerusalem, humiliated, being spat on, being beaten up a hill, and being nailed to a cross, humiliated. That's our Lord. That's what he did for us. And he says, take up your cross and follow me. That's what he says. So we got to get past all of this stuff that we see. And, you know, it's like we have to recognize it. We can't treat it until we diagnose it. And we have to diagnose our mindset right now. That we've been indoctrinated, folks, to react a certain way and to be a certain way. And we've got to turn that around. And we got to get into our word and see what our Lord says about our behavior. And you're not going to feel it. I'm telling you right now, your emotions are not going to line up with this. I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to warn you ahead of time. You're going to be biting your lip. But I'm telling you, once the Holy Spirit starts coming in, folks, you'll see yourself change. I can't wait till we get to the power of God, man. You'll see yourself change. I mean, if you can just look back, just look back 5 years, where you were 5 years ago, how you were behaving 5 years ago. I think about myself, I said, Lord, I'm embarrassed when I think about some of the way I was. I mean, my God, I was like, just a piece of work. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did in us. So your emotions, that's where we really have to get the power of the Holy Spirit to work on those emotions. It takes great faith to turn toward Christ as the lifter of your head. See, I think we get this idea that when we talk about the lifter of our head, we get this idea of us being down and depressed and just being in a heap. And Christ just comes along and just raises our spirits. There's more to it than just that. You got to deal with you. Because sometimes the reason why you're down in that heap with nothing, desolate, is because that's a good thinking spot for you. Because why would Christ lift you back up just so you can sin again? He's got you there for a reason. Don't think he dropped you. He didn't drop you. He knows exactly where you are. He stripped me of everything. And you think, you know, they said the heavens is brass and God, where are you? We need a little talk here. And I can't talk to you with you having all your stuff and all your status because you won't listen to me. You're too busy. You're too busy carrying out your agenda and you won't listen to me. So now you're in this place where only Christ can lift your head. You have no more your stuff, your quick fixes to lift your head. And he has you down there. And there's a conversation going on. I know you, these are personal conversations. Nobody knows but you and God, these conversations that you're having. And he wants that conversation because that conversation will determine whether or how quickly he can lift your head. I want to lift your head. I love you. I don't want to see you down there. But we have to have this conversation. I have to show you some things, daughter, son. I have to show you. Because when I lift your head, I want you to be better. When I lift you up, when I bless you again, I know that David was a better king when he came back to that palace than when he was before. Because see, all this before, he was looking out the window at somebody else's wife. And then used his power to bring her into the palace to lay with her. She conceived, and then he went and called her husband home and then had him killed. See, that was the before. This is David, the worshiper, the one that was in the field singing about Jesus, singing about God back then. See, sometimes as believers, we get into stuff. And we don't think God is seeing our stuff and our, But see, after all that happened, David came back to the palace and he was better. I don't know if some of you guys have stories like that. See, I got a story like that. I got a story like that where the Christian Karen before and the Christian Karen after. I have a before and after. And most of us, if we're honest, we got a before and after story. Because God, He loves you too much to leave you like that. He couldn't leave David like that. He had to deal with David doing that. He had to. He's got to deal with us. So he takes us through these things. When you read Psalm 3, I want you to see all of this when you're reading it. Yes, my enemies have come up against me. Yes. I messed up. Oh, God, I've messed up. See, that's the part that we got to get to, because some of us think we can't read this because it was my fault. But this is the man that it was his fault. He's the one that wrote this. It was his fault. But he still called on the Lord. He understood the love of God so wonderfully. So if God wants to do whatever you want to me, Lord. This is a man that said, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Do whatever you want to do, but whatever you do, don't take your Spirit away. And God took him through some things, stripped him of everything, but then he restored him. As David learned, and as he grew in God, the Lord restored his life. So that's what this is about, folks. So knowing this name is what we're talking about today. The lifter of my head. So if you're down in that place, if you're in that desolate place, you and God need to have a conversation. I know, and sometimes we're stubborn. You're not talking to God. I see people. They're not talking to God. They're mad at God because you took my stuff and I'm mad at you. And God will wait. He'll wait. Temper tantrum. On the floor. You ain't got nothing, but you're mad. You remind me of a little toddler. Don't have anything. Just sitting there. Pouting. No power, can't feed themselves, can't dress it, nothing. But I'm mad. I'm mad at Daddy. I'm mad at Mama. Sitting in a dirty diaper, yeah. That's the way we are. All in our mess, pouting. And I'll tell you, God will wait. And I'll tell you something about God. He said, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day, folks. So God can wait. He can wait us out.
He must laugh, though, when he's doing it.
I tell you. You know what? I think I think maybe part of him laughs, but I think in his heart he weeps because he wants to lift your head. He doesn't want you sitting there without and suffering without. He doesn't want you. His heart is breaking because he's got so much for you, so many blessings. I want to give them the blessing, but I know it would ruin them if I give them the blessing now. Because they're not willing to talk to me. They're not willing to submit to me. As the scripture says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. So I'm telling you, wherever you are in this, folks, at some point you're going to have to deal with him. And better, oh God, deal with him on this side of heaven, okay? Deal with him on this side of living. Because you don't want to deal with him on the other side, because some people do that. They are mad and they will pout with God until they leave this earth. And then they really have to deal with him then. So it takes humility and trust in God. It takes the power of God to lift your head. That humility issue comes up over and over again. And again, I hope you're seeing that's why our Savior came the way he did, in humility, because he needed to show us that more than anything. One of the major things he needed to show mankind was humility. So our next point, the basis for our confidence is simply this. No one can take from any of us what God wants us to have.
Amen.
Isn't that true? There's no reason for you to be jealous of anybody, to be fighting somebody. See, David had the mantle. God made him king. So, okay, they're overrunning the palace. I have to leave. He left. It didn't change the mantle. So we got to see that. Whatever God gave you, he's holding it. Not humans, he's holding it. David was anointed by the prophet of God as king of Israel. And David died as king of Israel. Even though it appears as if his enemies have stolen away his crown, God went before his chosen one and prevailed over his enemies. And he did that. God will do this same for you as you turn to him as the lifter of your head. As I said, the enemy will try to steal your positionings, whatever it is, gifts, talents, your parenting. You know, and I don't know why that keeps coming up, but parenting. Parents, God made you mom and dad, okay? I know there are people that will creep into your life, try to steal your children away. Try to steal them away with all kind of craziness and all kind of stuff, whether they're gangs or just people that are manipulative that will try and steal your kids away. God set that mantle upon you and be secure in that. You keep praying and fighting for your children. You keep praying for them because that mantle of parenthood is something. It's a powerful mantle, and God placed it on your life. So don't let any enemy think that you have to shrink back on that. He'll lie to you. Don't shrink back. Our final point, to know this name, the lifter of my head, we must know what it is to trust God through the fire and to walk beside him in the battle. I tell you, don't go off fighting on your own, okay?
You're going to lose.
Yes. And it's easy to do when you're in the battle, because I said emotions, folks. And I keep saying emotions because you need to recognize that they're there. You know, if your blood is at a low simmer, you need to turn on some praise and worship. You need to walk away. You need to start praying within yourself when you feel your blood just getting hot. To know that. For though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, we are not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh and using the weapons of man. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you get in a prayer and God will bring down walls for you. You won't even know what happened from Monday to Tuesday except that God brought down a wall. I've seen it happen. I didn't have to say a word. I didn't have to give a speech, and I love to give speeches. I didn't have to give a speech. I didn't have to give a lecture. God just changed it overnight after prayer. After prayer. I'm telling you, people will come to you and say, kids will come, your kids will say stuff differently to you. That teenager you've been praying for, they'll come in like, you know, I decided not to do that, you know, because, and you'd be like, thank you, Jesus, inside. You know, you can't let them know that you've been, oh, really? Okay. That's a good decision. Okay, well, yeah, okay, all right. And you know you've been in your prayer closet praying, oh, God, don't let them go down that road. Don't let them go down that road. God will bring down walls. He says it right here. He'll destroy fortresses for you. We have got to recognize where the battle is really being fought and stage our attack there. We need to enter into our war room and defeat our real enemy. And then as Christ your commander and chief speaks, act accordingly. He is the commander in chief. Act accordingly. That's our issue. The truth is we don't know what we're doing. So we need a commander in chief to give us orders. I say the soldiers, you know, you get these young kids, you know, they train them. They train them how to shoot a gun. They train them how to do this. But they train them how to follow orders. Because those orders can save their life on the battlefield. Because they're young, they're inexperienced, they don't know what they're doing. And some of us are the same way. We don't know what we're doing on the earth. You don't know what the snares and the traps that Satan has set up for you. All over the place. You didn't even see it coming. You didn't the accident. Oh my God, I wasn't expecting that. On top of that, listen to the commander-in-chief. And the Lord will show you. He has shown me so many things. I have avoided so many traps because he showed me ahead of time. He said, don't do that. Because I was ready, man. I was ready. I had all my backup. I was ready. Okay, I had all my reasons why. And I was ready. And the truth be known, I was in the flesh. I was, okay? And I would hear the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit said, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And I'm so glad. I look back, I'm like, thank you, Holy Spirit. Had I done that, this would have happened and that would have happened. I would have destroyed myself and someone else. Lord, I thank you. Hear the commander-in-chief when he speaks and act accordingly, and I promise you, he will lift your head.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Any comments?